fucking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your mega preview pod for this week's Wells Fargo Championship. And today's episode is sponsored by Sonos Arc. It's the premium smart soundbar for TV, movies, music, gaming, and more. I love mine. Stay tuned for additional details about Sonos Arc later in today's show. And today's show has Coach here. What's up, Coach?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like I've had such a slow couple of weeks that I'm really trying to think about our fans at home and what we can do for them. So I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to be here, and I'm looking forward to Jordan Spieth next week at the Byron Nelson.
There is so much there's so much going on there.
He just hit everybody, I think.
Oh, good. Let's go.
I think he was channeling his inner Kyle Porter, KP. What's up, big guy?
Oh, I don't know. Nothing. Hanging out. I mean, listen, like I didn't even know this existed. Rick went and found a comment on Apple about you, right?
The original comment was someone saying, my breaths are too loud.
Yeah, which is
that's so ridiculous.
And then I was like, I wonder if anybody said anything just ridiculous about me. And I hadn't looked, and I looked, and somebody wrote this like 300 word paragraph about how I say I don't know all the time, which I actually take as a compliment, because I'm not trying to pretend like I do know everything, which I think is not great. I probably say it a little bit too much, but we get questions. It's like, what's Scott Stallings going to do this week? I don't know. Like, I have no idea. What do you want me to say? So if that person is still listening, that's for you. I apologize. And I'm grateful you're still listening.
In our defense, I believe both of those reviews were still five-star reviews. Yeah. So apparently not too terrible. Mark Immelman rounds out our group for today. Mark, welcome. Good to have you.
Hey, boys. Nice to be with you all. Hey, look, if you want to find out how bad you are at what you do, just get onto Twitter. So I learned a long, long time ago not to read comments anywhere, because they can damage your ego in a hurry if you're not too careful. Yeah.
They certainly can. Before we jump into this week's storylines, I want to let you know what's on CBS Sports HQ this week. And as always, CBS Sports HQ is your home to start your sports news day with live updates kicking off each morning at 8 a.m. Eastern. And HQ is always your home ahead of the evening's action with live picks from the best analysts and cappers in the sports world each day at 6 p.m. ET. You may be thinking it's a quiet time in sports right now with the NFL draft over, but you'd be wrong. It's a Champions League week on HQ, and in fact, it's the second leg of the semis, and that means we'll have wall-to-wall coverage today and Wednesday, including latest news, analysis, picks, lots of picks around both match days. So check out HQ on your computer on cbssports.com or via the CBS Sports app on your mobile phone or TV. It's always free, Coach, and it's always on.
I just want to jump in real quick, because we do a very special episode of The Early Edge every week. And as we tape this on Tuesday, our guy, Tom Fornelli, he hit the straight bet in the first game. He hit the prop bet at plus 300 in the same game. And then we've got two more plays for Wednesday for the second two teams of the Champions League. So we've got you covered on The Early Edge.
Tom Fornelli catching fire, picking winners. You love to see it. This is our new segment. It's called Raising the Bar. It's presented by Sonos. And this week, we're talking about the one and only Max Homa. KP, he is our defending champion. And I think the evolution around Max Homa in the last few years is something of note. You have an article on CBSSports.com right now documenting just that.
Yeah, I kind of wrote about his evolution, you know, over the last, he's been on tour, I think, 8 full years now. And in like 5 or 6 of those, he's gotten better than he was the year before, which I think is so meaningful. You know, we talk a lot about guys like Morikawa who come out and are just awesome right away. And sometimes like that sometimes guys like that, there's not very many, they can maybe regress over time. Like they can get a little bit worse and then bounce back up. But I think it's cool to see somebody like Homa, who was an NCAA champion, was on a Walker Cup team, and he comes out and it's like, whoa, pro golf's different. Pro golf's really hard. And Sean Martin of PGAtour.com wrote about this week as well. There's a great article on PGAtour.com kind of talking about the same thing. He talked to Max about it. And I think it's a cool story because when there's progression like that, it's one thing. It's how hard did you work? How much time did you put in? How much effort did you put in? And that's become clear that he's put a ton of time and effort into becoming a really good pro, a guy who's on the fringes of making a Ryder Cup team. So I think it's a cool story, and I think it's one that is easy to celebrate during Quail Hollow week.
I think we get guilty of kind of always assuming guys are going to stay the same when we're like, oh, what's his career going to look like? How many wins is he going to end up with? And we just kind of look at what he's doing right now. Mark, you were up close and personal with Max Homa. It was last week, right? My days aren't getting past me. It was last week. And it feels like a year ago, but yeah, it was last week. And you were, you were raving about the way he's playing. It's been a really great stretch of golf for him.
Yeah, I believe it was the post-Saturday podcast where you and I connected, and I'd seen him that afternoon when he played a really solid round of golf. And everything about him, he just put it together well. He constructed the round well. And I think I made the quip saying, look, he's turned the corner. He's now a player worth reckoning. It's not one of these journeyman type guys that once in a while wins and then goes away for a while and then comes back. The guy I watched play was a guy who I suddenly became a believer in. You know, I was on Max from when he was in college. I'd happened to watch him play. And then early on in his career, I had him on my on my podcast, the On the Mark podcast, before he was Max Homa PGA Tour player, a Max Homa social media star. Really.
Yeah.
And he made some really savvy comments. And so I kept eyes on him. And then I saw him come on tour and he fell off. And I saw him and he fell off. And I sort of thought to myself then, you know, this is another one of those, you know, college stars that has failed to make this huge leap from the college game to the professional game. And he might be one of these guys that vacillates back and forth between, you know, the PGA Tour and the mini tours and the Korn Ferry Tour. And he paid his dues, to Carl's point. I mean, he worked hard and he took the risk, and maybe it was a function of the fact that he hadn't done very well, to change techniques significantly. And I got to tell you, right, the way I watched him play last week, I was disappointed because I had him again on Sunday in the final round. I was disappointed at the way he played. You know, he missed a few putts that he ordinarily would have made. And then they got on the clock in the second nine, the final nine of the tournament, and that seemed to rattle him. And then he tossed a double bogey in there late and essentially fell out of contention. But I'm still such a believer that I'm hot on him for this week. The way he's swinging it, the way he's playing it, his mindset, his combination with Joe Greiner, his caddy, I think is dynamite. I mean, the guy's got it all going on right now.
I think the other thing, and Sean Martin wrote this in his article on PGAtour.com, just talking about, we talk a lot about the margins. So in 2018, he goes back to Korn Ferry. So he, like Mark said, he's kind of bouncing up and down. He goes back to Korn Ferry 2018. I think it was the regular season finale. He has to birdie the last four holes to get into the Korn Ferry finals. I think that's right. Or to earn his card via the regular season, because it's top 25 regular season and then top 25 of the finals. He had to birdie the last four holes to do it. And he might not have even been on the PGA Tour the following year when he won Wells Fargo if he hadn't birdied those last four holes, which it's like stuff like that. You're like, this is all insane. Like the whole thing is absolutely lunacy. But he did it and made it back out and ended up winning Quail Hollow.
I think the spotlight on Max Homa, coach, is a little bit different because he was, as Mark alludes to, the Twitter guy before he was kind of the golf guy. And that was a lot of the criticism. It's like, hey, Max, you're great at roasting swings on Twitter. How about go earn some cash on tour, right? Go win something, go whatever. And he has transformed and matured from not just the Twitter guy, not just the guy who has a podcast with Shane Bacon, but to being a top 40 player in the world and getting getting respected for that part of his career instead of just what he fires out on Twitter.
Well, anybody that follows him on Twitter knows that he went through a stretch where he started getting criticized because he was way more well-known for what he was doing on Twitter and being that entertaining guy, and then it not transferring. And then people start making fun of him and saying, listen, why are you making fun of our swings when you're missing so many different cuts? And I think it speaks to what KP just says, that back in 2018, which is just 3 short years ago, and which is what made his win at the Wells Fargo in 2019. Remember how emotional it was for him? Remember Joel Damon said afterwards, you can afford to pay for your wedding. I mean, it was all this great video and audio and how happy Joel was for him. And it really put it in perspective for me how much he had struggled. But he's also the poster child for a lot of these guys that are like 5 years or older now on the PGA Tour because of what Morikawa and Hovland and Zalatoris and Wolf, to a certain extent, have done. They are kicking these guys in the tail. And they're saying, listen, if you don't start playing better, there's a whole bunch of cats just like me waiting on the Korn Ferry Tour, and they're ready to come and take your PGA Tour card unless you get better. That's what it is. You got to get better or you're going back. And a lot of these guys don't want to go back. Charlie Hoffman, Max Homa, the list goes on and on. And that's what's making the PGA Tour so much better now than it's ever been before.
Yeah, that's the truth. And just one more thing. You speak of the social media persona and then the PGA Tour player persona. You know, when I'd watched him play before, it hadn't been up close, like covering his group. I'd sort of went out when I was course scouting or something and just seen him and watch him play a hole or two. So it was, I was sort of like drive-by sort of fan, if you will. But watching him play for the last couple of days in Tampa around a difficult golf course in some challenging sort of conditions, what he is on social media is not what he is on the golf course. On the golf course, he's steely-eyed. On the golf course, he doesn't say a whole lot. On the golf course, man, he moves between shots. I can't tell you. I think I mentioned on this podcast the last time I was on that I'm ordinarily like 30 yards, 20 yards or so ahead of these guys. And he was getting to his golf ball at the same time as me. And this guy is all business, man. And I would greet him and say, hey, what's up? How are you? And it would be like, good. Short. I mean, he's curt. He's all business out there. So what you see on social media is far from the guy that's between the ropes in the PGA Tour.
That's pretty cool. I like that a lot. Max Homa to defend his crown this week at the Wells Fargo Championship. That is Raising the Bar presented by Sonos. I got to tell you, KP, I have one of these Sonos Arc soundbars.
You've
bars.
Told me.
It's unbelievable.
You've told me all of it.
Two things. It's starting to annoy us, Rick.
Yeah,
we don't have one.
How about this, Mark? You sound really good through it. Does that make you feel any better?
I don't like the sound of myself.
Worse.
So no, not really.
That's worse. Wow.
That's way worse. That's just sticking it in and twisting it.
It's great for golf. You can rock out on it. You can blare. It's got it all.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, yeah. Keep going, Rick. Keep going,
Rick. You're going to hear about it. You can also go to Sonos.com and check out the Arc for yourself. There are great storylines this week, gentlemen. Let's start with Rory McIlroy. Coach, we know it has not been a great whatever time period you want to put out there for Rory McIlroy. He hasn't won since 2019. It's been worse recently, missed the cut at the Masters. This is going to be his first start. Now officially working with the new swing coach, and there is a course in North Carolina, the one we're headed to, that would be a really good get-right spot for Rory.
I might get crushed for saying this, but that's okay. I believe that now Rory McIlroy has become the new Jordan Spieth of the PGA Tour. And what I mean by that is this. Hear me out. That for those first 2 years that Spieth was really struggling after he won the Open in 17, we all gave him a pass. We said, he'll get right. He's won all these majors all these times. He's fine. And then that second year to the third year to almost the fourth year, three and a half, then he got right. We've given Rory a pass for 2 years, and now – we're still giving him a pass because he's Rory McIlroy. I'm not giving him a pass anymore. There's a reason there's a 2 in front of his odds this week, plus 2,000 or higher. He doesn't have his game. And I am fading him all over the board this week, because if you're working with a new swing coach and you're also trying to get ready for three major championships and a Ryder Cup and an Olympics, perhaps, then this is not the week that that's all going to get right. You may work on a few things, but you're not out here to win this golf tournament. I don't think he threatens and doesn't even come close this week.
Oh, boy.
I've got something for you, Mark, but let me go to our resident Jordan Spieth expert, because KP, that has got to be the first time in First Cut history that we have had a Rory McIlroy Jordan Spieth comp. And I got to go to the expert on this one.
Well, I think to be fair to Coach's point, this is a little bit how the Spieth thing started. Remember back at the beginning of 2018, so Spieth wins the 17 Open at Birkdale, and then 2018 he starts off kind of lackluster, kind of sluggish, and you're like, ah, whatever, it's fine, and then it never got better for like 2.5 years or whatever, 3 years. So I don't agree with Coach, but I do agree with his point of like, hey, this is a little bit how this whole thing with Spieth started, is one thing started to go, and then another, and then another, and then all of a sudden we're like, is Jordan Spieth going to qualify for the PGA Championship? You know, like, of course he already did via other, you know, by winning the 2017 Open, but you just start asking questions that are like, what's going on here? So I don't think that's where Rory is. I think his issues, I think there's a bigger sample size there with some of his swing stuff, that it's like, man, when it gets off, it doesn't get off by a lot, and it's usually course corrected pretty quickly. And with Spieth, there wasn't that big of a sample size. So that's the part that I disagree with a little bit, but I do agree with him saying that's how it started.
And I get it. That's why I preface it by saying I'm probably going to get crushed for this. But I just watched a dude, and I'll let you speak, Mark. I just watched a guy a couple of weeks ago that had no clue where he was hitting the ball. None. And that's what I have. The most recent images of my mind is the last couple of months, and he really doesn't know what he's doing. Mark, I apologize. Go ahead, sir.
No, Mark, I'll tee you up on this here, because okay. I think we can draw a straight line of after the restart. That is when the struggles mm-hmm. for Rory really, because his starts before that, fifth, third, fourth, win, third. That's awesome, obviously.
That was awesome.
Now, after the restart, things got worse. And I think, obviously, Mark, 2020 was a weird year for everyone. But some of the Euro guys, some of the guys with travel restrictions in place, I think you've talked about this before, where coaches might be in one spot, mentors might be in another. They're kind of – it's just – I wonder if that kind of took its toll on some of the European guys more, and Rory kind of got the brunt of it.
Yeah, well, first off, happy birthday to you, Rory, on May 4th.
And it's his birthday.
So Coach sends his very best from the First Cut podcast. I hope the year ahead is loaded with happiness and success. I'd like to start there and say, during the lockdown, the folks that were here that were close to their crew, whatever you want to call them, their team, to use a Spiethism, we're working on technique, where Rory was on the Peloton bike because, you know, his crowd was all over in Europe. And he and a few guys, it was more Peloton comparisons than anything else. And so he got in really good shape and came back and played okay in the start. But then from there, the game sort of went a bit sour. But the truth is, the first few events he played, one golf course that sort of handcuffed him. And it didn't allow him to play his style of the game. So he was not completely on, sort of a little rusty. And then the game sort of went a little on the sour side. But he still was sort of relevant. But we measure him with a different bar, right?
Yes.
So if Rory doesn't win, then Rory's playing badly. And then from there, it started to go sour. And then he misses a few putts. Then you try and force the thing. And then whole the Bryson gate comes about, and he's trying to chase swing speed and stuff. And that certainly threw off the technique. But he has the truth of it. You know, with every single one of these guys, and you see it week in and week out, that they can – something clicks. And Rory's one of those that can click fast. And the thing about Quail Hollow is a number of those holes, the tough driving holes, I think of like certainly three. You turns from right to left, fairway tilts in the opposite direction. Four is long and straight, but you miss left, you're fine. Five, six is the same thing. Then 9, 10, 11, 15, they all turn a little left. And so if he gets to driving that thing like he does from right to left around a course where he's happy on the greens, because I still contend that Rory putts bent better than anything else. If you look all at all of his success, most of it has been on bent grass. He battles in Pioneer, that we know. So I have a sense that at a course where it fits his eye, he's been successful there before. Hell, he's the all-time leading money winner over there. I think he can sort of stumble himself into contention. Then maybe those feelings wake up. My only thing for Rory is, can he hit that sort of held-off cut with the irons to sting balls into right hole locations? Because if he can do that, then I feel like he's on his way. I think like it is with every player at this level, they're closer than what some of the scores sometimes show.
That's why we have strokes gained, Mark. Rory, since
was that a shot or was that just a? I feel like that was a shot.
No, it's why it's because
I'm just,
really
I'm just stirring things up.
It really is why strokes gain is important, because what Mark is saying is, like, sometimes your game can be closer than a miscut would make it seem. And what I was getting ready to say is that Rory, since the restart, is 14th in the world in strokes gained tee to green. And since January 1st, he's 18th in the world. So it's definitely a different curve that we're talking about Rory on. It's different than Will Zalatoris. It's different than Abraham Ancer. It's different than Max Homa. It's just different. But he's still been a top 20 player from tee to green, whether you're looking from, you know, since the PGA Tour restarted, whether you're looking at the beginning of the calendar year. And I get it. Like, his iron play, and especially his wedge stuff since the restart, has been not good. Like, just not even like not Rory good, but just not PGA Tour good. But I think I think to what Mark is saying, like, it's not like it's not Spieth-ian where it's like, wow, he is losing a ton of strokes from tee to green every single week. That has not been the case. And I don't know if he's going to play great this week, but I do think that it would not be shocking to me if he won the PGA in 3 weeks.
I just have one number to throw out to give you an idea of where Vegas thinks Rory McIlroy's game is. Has anybody seen the head-to-head number of Jon Rahm and Rory McIlroy?
I saw it with Hovland.
Minus 180. Hovland's favored too. But mm-hmm. Rahm is at minus 180 over Rory McIlroy. I don't know that I've ever seen that before. In the history of Rory, I mean, I don't know if there's ever been a number that he's been an underdog of more than what we're seeing this week. That's a crazy number, guys. It really, really is.
So is that why you're fading him?
No, I'm fading. I would have faded him anyway. I'm not fading him with Jon Rahm. I think that number is too high. I am fading him, and you'll see in a second, with Victor, though, because that number is what I can stomach if I lose, which is minus 125. But when I saw that number, I almost wanted to play the other side and play Rory just in case he does have a good week. You can play a little bit and win a lot, comparatively speaking, on him.
We're going to have some more Rory McIlroy conversation when we get to our betting cards.
Like,
real
it.
Quick, before we move on, Rory McIlroy, as noted, has earned the most money here than anybody, but he does not have the most top 10s. There's one other guy who has more. Anybody?
Fowler. Ricky.
Nope. Nope.
Webb.
Nope. Come on, Mark.
Justin Rose. Jason Day.
No. Coil.
Mark, you're our pulse. Come on,
Mark, you're our pulse.
Our producer Jacob's saying Philip Mickelson.
Phil Mickelson.
Mickelson,
that's right.
Okay.
Phil's got 10 of them. Rory's got 7. Phil's played here 16 times. There's your little nugget for the day. Okay, PGL, not dead. Not dead, I've heard, because
do we even have to talk about this, Lord? Jeez.
Yes.
Oh, I'm in. I'm in for this.
I've got some takes.
This is why we have to talk about it, Mark. Look at all three of you. All three of you are foaming at
the mouth
to talk about this.
Rick, yes, me. I don't know. I mean, really, are we going around this block again?
That's a great place for that.
A report, we have to clip that, Jacob. A report on Tuesday in the Telegraph describes that a few of the top players, including Dustin Johnson, Justin Rose, Phil Mickelson, Adam Scott, Brooks Koepka, have been offered contracts. I don't know how to describe this. Payments between $30 and $50 million KP. To refresh your memory on what the PGL is, this is a proposed league that would feature between 40 and 48 golfers playing an 18 event schedule around the world with lucrative purses. And it is apparently, I don't know if it's happening or not, well funded.
Yeah, I would like to throw it back at you, Rick, with this question. And the question that I've been thinking about all day, the more I think about this, the more I read about it, the more I consider it, is what is the PGA Tour's leverage here? Like, what is their play? What are they leveraging? What are they giving to players that they can't? Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Like, what is that?
I believe it is.
Go ahead, Mark. No, sorry, Rick. I jumped again. Go ahead.
I think it's safety and security. I think it is the known entity. I think that it's almost like when you leave your cushy job that you've been at. It's a Fortune 500 company for 100 years, and you go to a startup, and it could become the greatest thing ever, and it could become the new world tour, and you can make way more than the numbers that are being thrown out, but it might be bankrupt in 2 years, or the idea that the money might run out at some point. That's what I think the tier is leveraging.
Safety and security, they're getting guaranteed money. But from,
but it's only if they can pay them the guaranteed money. I'll wait.
Yeah, Mark's dying to
go ahead, Mark.
This is so tiresome. All of these guys we're talking about, how much money have they got in the bank? Who's the guy of the folk that trying to attract got the smallest net worth? And what's that? Give me a wild guess.
Probably right, 30 or 40 million.
That's probably so shorthand. They don't need money.
But Mark, here's the thing. I've been around.
Who actually operates like that?
No, but yeah, these guys are looking for this is what they're looking for. Yeah, money's great. Money is fantastic. They're not going to turn up their nose at $15 million at the end of the year. They never do. The Masters, the U.S. Open, the Open, the PGA Championship.
They can still play in them.
But that's the thing, Mark.
Jay Monahan said you're a member of the tour or you're not. If you're not
a member of the PGA Tour to play in the U.S. Open.
Correct. That was going to be my take, is the fact that the PGA Tour would never, I don't think they would ever tell Dustin Johnson or Rory or any of these guys, if they came back to maybe PGA Tour events, but the majors, they're still going to get into. They're not going to kick themselves in the foot. Okay. And there's been a lot of wealthy guys around the world because in the world of wrestling, we ran into this years ago, where a really wealthy person came in, offered a lot of guys a bunch of money to leave the WWF at the time and go, and they made millions and millions and millions of dollars. Now, it went out of business in 2001, and they all had to come back and take a lot less money, but they made a bunch. I think this is going to make the PGA Tour do more than this $30 or $40 million pool. How are you going to rate how you're paying the guys? By how much they post? By how many likes they get? I thought it was a very weak response to what that potentially could be. Now, would they ban a player like what just happened in soccer when they tried to do that Super League and they said, basically, if you go, you ain't going to play here. Mm-hmm. They could do that. Do I think they will? I do not think that they will. I think this is ever going to get off the ground? I don't think that it will either.
But if you're Dustin Johnson, like, do you care that you can't play Colonial?
No, because he cares about money. I know that for a fact. He cares about, you know, wealthy men want more money. I worked with a billionaire who it wasn't enough to have a billion. He wanted $2
million. Exactly. That's totally the point. And I think that, like, the PGA Tour has, because it's been so successful, it's almost been too successful, because in the 1970s and 80s, like, you played the tour because you needed the money, right? And now guys like play like 12 times a year and you can make plenty, like you could only play the majors and make plenty of money if you're one of the top guys. And they don't control any of the biggest events, right? They don't control the Masters. They don't control the US Open, the Open Championship, the PGA, the Ryder Cup. Their leverage, think about this, the partnership, and this was in the Telegraph article, the partnership that they have with the European Tour and potentially preventing European Tour players from playing in the Ryder Cup is the only like sliver of leverage that they have for the biggest event, which is so weird to think about, that the PGA Tour's leverage is actually on the European side now that they're a partner with the European Tour, which runs the Ryder Cup on the European Tour side. Unless you care deeply about like the history of the Sony Open or the history of the Texas Open or whatever, which none of those guys do, I just don't know what the leverage is on the tour side.
Go ahead, Rick.
I was just going to say, the idea that you're not going to be able to play these courses isn't even true, because if the PGL goes to YLI and says, hey, we want to hold an event in November and we'll give you X amount of dollars, they're not going to say, no thanks. They're going to say, no problem. So you're basically only ruling yourself out of like the TPC network of courses.
Two quick points. Do you remember when they were talking about the FedEx Cup and people said they're going to have playoffs in golf? We never have playoffs in golf. What 15 million dollars? That's never going to happen. All that has happened. What was the promo, Rick? You read at the beginning of the show, the Champions League. Does anybody remember when the Champions League was just the thought that you're going to have the biggest teams in Europe play and they're going to make millions and millions more money? The fact that there's a lot of people thinking that this can't happen or this wouldn't be successful, never say never. This could turn into something really, really big if they get all of these guys to buy in. And now all of a sudden, you've got competition. And anybody will tell you, competition is good for some people.
Well, that's the thing. Like having power sort of decentralized is great for the sport. It might be bad if you are the most vulnerable of those power players, right? And that may or may not be true of the PGA Tour, but that's how the PGL sees it. They see the PGA Tour as the most vulnerable of those people at the table, and they're trying to take advantage of it. I agree with Coach. I don't know that it's going to work, but I don't think it's nothing. There appears to be plenty I would be concerned about like the sentence where it says Saudi investors are willing to spend a lot of money on this. Like that's concerning. Like that could be a problem over the next couple of years.
Okay. I stand corrected on my previous observation. Forgive me. But yes, what happened to this thing last time? It was all chatter. Everyone was going bananas. The word was players were getting wooed all over the show. And one guy stands up and says, not happening. Next thing is dead on arrival. What's to say it's not going to happen now is my question.
Because I think they've got more money people involved.
Yeah,
How many guys do they have to get? Like,
that's a good question.
Because you can't get two. It can't be Justin Rose and Dustin Johnson.
It's got to be at least 15 to 20, and there's got to be at least 10 legit big-time ticket-selling names.
I think I'm with Coach. I think you have to get like 8 to 10 like owners of teams, right? Like the big names where they have like a stake in the team, the DJ, Phil, Ricky, Bryson, whatever. And then if you're filling out your teams with like the Horschels and Charlie Hoffmans, I think you could get by with that at first until kind of the avalanche comes. But I think it got killed less because of what Rory and John Rahm said and more because of COVID. You know, right after Rory and Rahm talked about it, COVID hit and then everything was just, nobody was talking about anything other than like, is there going to be sports again? So it felt like the momentum that was there got killed less because of Rory and more because of the pandemic.
And then he's broadcasting this thing.
Oh, there'll be tons. I think there'll be tons of people lined up to buy the rights to it. Two quick nuggets that I know for a fact because I was there. The Saudi, a couple of years ago, they paid the WWE $100 million to come and do shows there. They paid Hulk Hogan $2 million to show up for one show. $2 million. There are a lot of wealthy people, and I've been all around the world with sports that just love being around big sports stars. We saw it in 3 years where Tiger will go over, and in 8 days, he once made $7 million playing two 18-hole events sandwiched around one event in Turkey. We all remember when he did that. There's a lot of wealthy people that will spend a lot of their own money just to be next to these guys because they just like it. They think it's cool. They want to tell their friends, I hung out with Dustin Johnson. I played with Phil. I did this. There are a lot of people like that, just not a lot in the United States. And right now, this is becoming a global game, and I think they should really not discount this as nothing.
Well,
Rick?
We'll wrap with this idea, because whether it's happening or not, Mark, the PGA Tour, they're putting up pillars, right? It's the partnership with the European Tour. It's the new PIP, the new $40 million. It's the FedEx Cup continuing to increase in prize money. They're trying to build a barrier for PGL or anybody else who wants to come and try to break down what they have. Do you think we are going to continue to see more of these pillars? And are there enough pillars that they can put up to fend off all of these potential challenges they might see in the future?
Well, so far precedent says yes, because Greg Norman tried this way back. And then there was another,
they stole his idea.
And then there was the most recent foray. And now we got this again. This is going to happen all the time. And it's to coach's observation, money talks, right? And as soon as you can get the ear of these guys, they're going to have a listen. But, here's the thing about this big money. First off, you referenced COVID, Kyle. It's not as easy to travel globally as what it used to be because of. And I can't. I'm waiting for that to go away. So that's a pillar that the tour isn't even put in place. And then also, you know, a lot of travel is a mission to these guys. I'll tell you this, and I don't even travel for the big money, and I have to do it. We've gone, whatever it is, Louisiana, Tampa, now it's Charlotte this week, and then it's going to be Dallas. And so it's all fairly central, you know, 2 hours flying at the most, but it grinds on one. Next thing you wake up in the middle of the night, and you're like, what city am I in? Coach, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, of course.
If you're jetting about from Malaysia to the Emirates to Australia and stuff, that's enough to turn some of these guys off as well.
There is likely to be much more discussion about this, so we're going to put a pin in it for now. We've got to go through our betting cards. We've got to talk one and done. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
And we're back. The Champions League is close to crowning a champion with the second leg of the semifinals this week. And the K Galazzo podcast provides previews, recaps, analysis, and betting tips for Champions League and Europa League. Sounds like the first cut podcast for football is what it sounds like. Listen in as the team chats with UEFA team insiders to give their picks on which team takes home the Champions League title. Follow K Galazzo wherever you find this podcast. Okay, gentlemen, it is time for our betting card. This is the segment in which we take our 100 units over to William Hill and we decide how we are going to allocate those dollars. We are going to start with Coach. Let's start with Coach's betting card. We're going to get it set up here, and producer Jacob is going to pull it up on the screen. And coach, before you dive into it, I see four matchups, a top 20 and a nationality bet. You're sticking with that bread and butter, the matchup place.
Well, I mean, if you notice the last month or two, I've really been channeling my inner Mark Immelman every week. I love the exotics. I love how William Hill has all these different plays. I just hated all the numbers this week. I hated the choices. They just didn't match up well for me. So I did love these four. Head-to-heads. I love the Hovland. I will bet a lot personally on the Hovland over Rory. I think it could be over by Friday, to be honest with you. Cantlay struggling. That's an easy number for me. Finau, I think he could win this week. I still love Max Homa. Until Max shows me a week that he's going to miss the cut or not play well, I'm going to ride him. And then Bryson. Xander is kind of like Rory to me. Xander is not playing good golf at all. That was an easy fade. Homa top 20 easy. Matt Jones top Australia. That's really all I found. And I could win all six. I feel pretty confident in those.
Hovland over Rory McIlroy is coach's best bet. You heard Tony Finau over Patrick Cantlay, Max Hova over Sung Jae Im, Bryson DeChambeau over Xander Schauffele. Homa gets backed up in a top 20, and Matt Jones with the top Australian. Two, I thought your numbers didn't add up, coach, but they add up perfectly to 100.
Thank you.
So congratulations. Let's go to my betting card because I'm at odds with coach, and I want to talk about this a little bit because I took the opposite side. I took the Sung Jae Im side over Max Homa, coach. My thought process is certainly not a knock on Max Homa. It is not that at all. He's been phenomenal. I just think that sometimes bookmakers look at the defending champion, they shorten him up a little bit, and they put him in matchups that he might not be in the right position to be. So I took the other side. I'm not gonna. I feel like a little bit like we're splitting hairs, but I did thought it was good for. I did think it was good for education.
I feel like me and you need to do a head up bet here on the show right now. $100.
Let's do it.
$100.
Let's do it.
All right,
I have Sung Jae. You have Homa. If they both miss the cut, doesn't matter what their scores are. It's a push.
That's the Mark Immelman rule. Mark Immelman rule. If they miss the cut, both. It's a no bet.
No bet.
That's officially Mark's rule. I like it.
Perfect. I've got Sung Jae Im. Coach has Max Homa in that matchup. Kyle, did your ears perk up? What did you moved closer to the mic? I thought you wanted to get in there.
No, I don't want any part of that. But I do like the rule that you have to at least somebody has to make the cut. I think that's a good rule.
There is nothing more anticlimactic than a guy shoots four over, misses the cut. Another guy shoots seven over, misses the cut, and you got to pay out the four over guy.
That's terrible.
You can't brag about that.
you cannot. The rest of my card, heavily favored onto Joaquin Niemann. KP, let's bring you in on Niemann here. I've got him over Abraham Answer. That's my best bet. I have him a sprinkle on and outright. I think most people don't realize how long he is off the tee. He's made 17 cuts in a row. He's playing well. I'm feeling Joaquin right now.
Yeah, he finished T8 last week as well. T8 at the Valspar?
No, Answer beat him because I had them in the head. I had Answer over Niemann last week, and Answer won that bet.
Answer was fifth, and
Answer was fifth. It was pretty close. Niemann
Don't you hate losing a matchup where your guy finishes eighth and
that's
the
worst.
Guy finishes fourth?
That's the worst.
Hey, I'm actually betting against Niemann this week, which is probably going to not turn out great for me. I like him. I mean, I was looking back. I think he's missed the cut here a couple times, but he's playing better golf than he's ever played in his career. So I think Answer was super high with the putter last week, and that's probably why you're fading him at least partially here. I like Niemann over Answer.
The Matt Jones, so coach and I on the same page, both like Matt Jones this week. I have him at a top 20. And Mark, I did it. I went and I pulled the trigger on Rory McIlroy at 20-1. That number to me is much too long. And when he wins again, you're never going to see something like this. I'm going to try to be early on Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, you got to grab that sort of bet there. I mean, that number, there was one on my betting card. I can't remember what it was, but it was McIlroy at long odds, and I just had to take it because he's Rory McIlroy. So I'm all over that over there, and I'm looking forward to seeing mine because I thought last week my card was good because I put some thought into this thing. I'm not sure how I ended, so I'm keen to go through mine.
Okay, well, let's, without further ado, let's bring up Mark's betting card, which I promise you is not Kyle's betting card, because there are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Look at the size of font Jacob had to use to get all of these onto one screen. So Mark, let me find, okay, let's start with a couple of your matchups here. Patrick Reed over Webb Simpson. I also see Abraham Ancer over Joaquin Niemann. Let's start there.
Yeah. Well, look, Webb hasn't played very well at his home golf course. And Patrick Reed, it's the kind of place that it likes a draw shot. It really does. They both draw the ball, but Reed does it easily. And Reed is just that sort of guy, when the reckoning gets tough, he wants to show up. So I just like the odds there, because Webb was negative. And then Abraham, just the way he's playing, just the mentality, just he's like an overcomer, you know? And Niemann was favored in that match, so I'd happily take Abraham Ancer over Niemann as an underdog. And that's with no disrespect to Niemann whatsoever. Now, there's Rory over Justin Thomas and Xander Schauffele.
Yep.
At plus 225, I couldn't avert my eyes over there. Same thing with Hovland over Rahm and DeChambeau. The way Victor's playing and hitting the golf ball right now, if he makes a few putts, he'll be a handful. I picked him as the top Euro at plus 400, and then I'm high on Max this week. I really am. What I saw last weekend, I'm still believing. And so I've never picked an outright tournament winner before, and I figure, well, defending champ, there's a lot of pressure there. But he's coming off an outing last week where he had a shot to win, and he didn't finish it. So I think there's a little bit of the red rear end coming into Charlotte over here for Max this week, and he's got a point to prove. And it's not going to be like, oh, well, I'm the defending champ, I'm going to get wrapped up in that. He's coming in here with a little fire in the belly, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does.
So Max Homa, I believe there's also a boost on Max Homa at William Hill. So Mark got him at 35-1. For our audio listeners, let me just recap Mark's betting card. Max Homa outright, 35-1. Victor Hovland top Euro, it's 4-1. Hovland again over Rahm and DeChambeau. Rory McIlroy over Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, that's a 3-ball. Abraham Ancer over Joaquin Niemann. Max Homa wins Group C, which on William Hill is Zalatoris, Niemann, Harmon, Sungjae, Cameron, Tringale. He has Keegan, I like this, going back to Keegan Bradley over Shane Lowry and Russell Henley. Stuart Sink over Emiliano Grillo. Patrick Reed over Webb Simpson. And it would not be a Mark betting card if we didn't have an event ending in a playoff. Are you working this weekend, Mark? You're not working this weekend, are you?
I am,
are
but you? I'm not on the main show. I'm finishing with Golf Channel at like 2:45 Sunday, so I'm out of there.
That's the dirty little secret. If Mark was on the broadcast on Sunday, he would not be rooting for a playoff. So he's got, I knew, I can tell your schedule just by looking at your betting
coach,
card.
Coach knows no playoffs ever. No playoffs ever.
No. Let me get out.
All right, KP, time for your betting card. I'm stunned that Mark composed one that was longer than yours. Let's start with matchups. I see Bryson DeChambeau over Xander Schauffele. Tony Finau over Patrick Cantlay. That one is your best bet. You like it so much that you took Finau in a 3-ball over Niemann and Zalatoris. And then your final matchup looks to be Victor Hovland over Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, I love Finau this week. He finished, I might have been looking at somebody different. I think he finished top. No, he's never finished top 20 here, but played great at the Masters. We don't really have stats on him at Zurich, but look, it's a ballpark that favors length, right? We've seen Rory win here. We've seen Jason Day win here. I was looking on Data Golf. It's akin to like a Bethpage or a Wingfoot, where length matters more than it does at other PGA Tour events. And yeah, I can't always not playing very well. Like, his numbers over the last 6 weeks have been pretty bad. So I really like Finau over him, which was why I made it my best bet.
Your top 10s and top 20s include Justin Thomas to finish inside the top 10. That's plus 110. Matt Wallace and Shane Lowry to finish inside the top 20. They are both plus 320.
I think Lowry's shorter than that. I think Lowry's plus 250. But well, Wallace
is a number.
Yeah, both those guys are playing under the radar, like pretty good golf. Lowry finished in the top 10 at both the Masters and the Players Championship, or maybe it was top 15 at the Masters and Players Championship. Wallace was great leading into the Masters, made the cut there, didn't finish great, but it was numbers for two guys that are hitting it really well, playing really well from tee to green over the last 2 months that I wanted to get on at plus 320 and plus 250.
Lowry is indeed plus 250. I just confirmed that over at William Hill. And you finish off this betting card with two outrights. One, Rory McIlroy, 20-1. And then you took advantage of the William Hill boost and got Jason Day at 50-1. Two past champions.
Yeah, if Rory's number starts with a two and it's not 2-1, then... I'm in. And Jason Day's been playing pretty well over the last few months. Interestingly, his struggle over the last few months has been with the putter, which he was best putter in the world from like 15 to 17. And he's kind of struggled a little bit with that over like since March, but he's hitting the ball well. And obviously he knows this place well. He's won here before. So I thought, would I do that at like 30-1? No, but at 50-1, it felt like, it was worth it to put $5 on there.
I have considered, I've wagered on Rory McIlroy to win this week. And I also feel like if you do that, you have to bet his PGA championship number, because if he does win this week, yeah, it gets slashed.
What's PGA right now? 16, 18?
I thought it was 16 when I looked at it. Yeah.
Earlier that's today. That's as high as I've seen it for him in 8 years.
Wow. Yeah.
And if he wins, he's going to go to 10.
Immediately. Yeah. Or eight or something. Yeah.
Okay, so just to recap our best bets here. I'm taking Joaquin Niemann over Abraham Answer. Mark is taking Max Homa to win Group C. Kyle is taking Finau over Cantlay. Greg is taking Connors over Cantlay and Webb. Coach is taking Hovland over McIlroy, and we will tweet out Sia's when we get it. One and done. As we do each and every week, we start with you, Coach. Now, Coach, we don't technically have to start with you. It's just that we start at the, we work our way.
At the bottom.
We start at the bottom. We work our way up. You are coming off Adam Hadwin with a goose egg. You are at 2.4 million. And even producer Jacob now is starting to extend. We need someone here. We need someone.
I'm so in my own head because I went away from what I said a month ago I was going to do. Every single week, whatever my one and done is going to be the person I picked to win the golf tournament unless I couldn't use him. Last week, I could have used Abraham Answer. That's who I picked to win. Didn't do it. Missed the cut, got zero, Answer finishes fourth. So this week, I believe I can use Tony Finau. I believe I can. And if that's the case, I'm taking Tony Finau because I do believe that we could have 2 weeks in a row, first-time winners on the PGA Tour in the continental United States. I better add that before people tweet.
I was ready to jump in. I was going to hop right on that.
Let's go, Finau.
Yes, you can use Tony Finau. You have him available. So Tony Finau for Coach. Producer Jacob, are you hopping on? You're at 2 point. This is a very important week, Jacob, because you have 2,999,357. So just make a cut. You'll break the $3 million mark. And you're coming off 127,000 from Justin Thomas.
Yeah, this week I'm gonna roll with Patrick Reed. We're going back to the theory of we're just gonna throw the stars at these events. I mean, Wells Fargo is practically an elevated status event. Yep. Wouldn't be surprised if it gets moved up to that in the near future. So we're gonna go with the stud here, Patrick Reed. He's on the cover of Golf Digest, I think, this month. So it's just smiling, and we're setting up perfectly for sort of a Reed heel play here.
Did you see who he listed as his best friends on tour, Jacob?
No, I did not.
You should go read it. It's a very good story. Who would host the... You have to have a host for an elevated status event, right?
Let's see. Webb? Phil's got the Desert Classic. Webb, maybe?
Webb lives on the course.
He lives on what, the sixth hole, seventh hole, fifth hole?
Maybe you could... Harold Varner is also in the area, so you Webb, Harold Varner.
That'd be cool. Davis went to school down the road. Davis Love went to school down the road. Hall of Famer.
Plenty.
He already hosts like three events.
Seriously doubt Harold Varner III is getting a hosting spot before he gets.
Well, that's why it's a co-host. It's a win. It's a co-host. He and Webb split it.
He gets to host. Okay, hosts the green. He hosts the last three holes, and Webb gets the other 15. Okay,
all right, that makes more sense. That makes more sense.
Or you could also just have Michael Jordan host it too.
You could have Webb and HV3, and you could just say combine 7 PGA Tour wins or whatever it is.
There you go.
Okay, so Jacob is going to go with, I already forgot. Who are you going with?
Reed.
Patrick Reed. Okay.
Patrick Reed.
Patrick Reed to snap through the $3 million mark. There is a $3 million gap to Greg. He is at $6.1 million. He has phoned it in, and he has told us that he is taking Victor Hovland. Mark, I'm just double checking to make sure that he can use Victor Hovland, but how do you like the Norwegian's chances this week?
I picked him to win something in my betting card. I like his chances this week. He's a man for all seasons right now. He's got a game that looks like it travels. He plays all manner of golf course as well. Carolina, you got undulations and stuff like that. You've got to be able to hit the ball pretty high, which he does. And he moves it comfortably in both directions. So, yeah, I'm digging his action around Quail Hollow.
And he is eligible for Greg to use as well. A 600.
Rick, real quick, yes, real quick. I know we're running close on time. I couldn't believe how unprofessional you just were right there. In all seriousness, we know that Greg phones it in every single week. You don't have to point it out when he's not here.
I saw that coming.
Right. That's right. Texted it in.
There you go.
That's very true. There is a $600,000 gap to you, Kyle. And I have to admit, you are the hottest man in the one and done right now. You're because right. Your last five events, $3.1 million. Wow. And you are only $29,000 behind Mark. I can see him shaking in his boots over there. Who do you like this week for the one and done?
Well, I want to pick John Rahm, but I've already picked him twice. So I guess I can't pick him. I've already taken Hovland. Yep. Bryson is I'm saving him for Torrey. Obviously. I think I've already picked Finau. Yep. I picked him at Torrey earlier.
You got $456,000 from him.
I haven't taken Rory yet. This doesn't feel like a great week to use him. I think I might go with either Max Homa or Shane Lowry. I love Lowry right now.
Yeah, I'm with you, Kyle.
All right, so Kyle is not giving us a definitive answer. Homa or Lowry?
I think I'm gonna go with Homa.
Max Homa for Kyle, and he is $29,000 behind you, Mark. Who got $65,000 from Paul Casey at the Valspar and $209,000 from the Burns Horschel team the week prior, 1 week early on Sam Burns. Who do you like this week?
I was looking through the list of players, and I think there's like 19 events left. And I looked at the world rankings, who I had left, and I have got JT, Bryson, Morikawa, Webb, Brooks Koepka, Finau, Hideki, Rory, Daniel Berger. That's down that list. And then, so I got Bryson. I've got a few guns left, and I'm going to holster them. And I'm really hot on Max Homa, so I'll keep Carlin behind me for another week. But I need a bit of a splash here because I've just been creeping along the last, but I need one of these big hits so I can make some headway into your lead.
Max Homa for Mark. I can't wait until we get to the Tour Championship and Mark has 8 of the top 10 players left that he has not used yet.
The master list.
I love it. Mark at $6.7 million. I'm at $8.1 million. I've used a lot of these guys, so I am just going to go with John Rahm and try to add $1.4 million to my total. KP, how would you describe?
You're not going to have any of the top 30 left for the Tour Championship.
That's actually true. I got to consider Stuart Sink. But yeah, I could take Stuart Sink and probably start at 5 under or whatever it is. But I have to save somebody because I'm burning through them.
Have you seen Rahm's finishes this year?
Yes, I know he's got eight. First of all, I was going to ask you, how would you describe his play recently? Like, because I don't think most people would say he's been amazing when I think he's been amazing.
He's been invisible, but listen to this. Since the Masters last year, so 2020, November Masters, T7, 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 T13, T5, T32, T9, T5, T5.
That's crazy. Completely invisible. You're right.
Seven top nines in 10 tournaments. That's a joke. He might be the most underrated guy in the world because he hasn't won, right, but he's been playing just so, like, at such a high level that's his baseline, right? Like, that's just who he is.
I looked it up. He has not lost strokes off the tee in 26 consecutive events. It's every event this year. It's every event last year. The only other guys who have a 100% rate like he does have played 4 events. He's gone 26 in a row. The driver is a weapon, an absolute weapon.
I think he's going to win Kiowa.
That'd be cool. I'd be down with that.
I think I'm using it for Kiowa.
Paul Casey. Paul Casey.
Give me Paul Casey.
Just face it, Coach. You're the ice man. Whoever you pick, they play poorly. It's like me, whatever group they've dispatched me to, they've played poorly, except for Homer on Saturday.
I do have something, as you like to say, in my holster that I'm going to pull out in July if things don't get better. And it's just for you, Mr. Immelman. Just for you.
Oh, really? Huh?
It's a little tease. Just a little tease. A little tease.
the two-month tease.
I got to give myself a runway just in case.
We're going to forget about it by then. We're going to tweet out. We're going to tweet out and post on Instagram our best bets, our picks to win, our top 10s. But what we're going to rapid fire shout out right now are our sleepers for this week. I'm going with Matt Jones. You can get him at about 100-1, 90-1 as well in some places. I like the way he's playing. KP, your sleeper, please.
Jason Day, 50-1. William Hill, odds boost.
Mark, your sleeper, please.
Future co-host of the Wells Fargo Championship, Harold Varner III.
Coach, your sleeper, please.
I'm going to go with the guy who finished second here 2 years ago to Max Homa. I'm going to go with Joel Damon, who won just a few weeks ago.
And Greg is going to take Cameron Davis as his sleeper. The rest of the picks will be tweeted out and posted on Instagram. Make sure to follow at First Cut Pod if you want to see those. Gentlemen, that has been our mega preview pod for this week's Wells Fargo Championship. Let me thank producer Jacob doing all the hard work behind the scenes. Let me thank Mark Immelman, who you can find on Twitter at @Mark_Immelman. Let me thank the coach, who you can find at The Coach Rules. That's Kyle Porter, who you can find at Kyle Porter CBS. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.